We'll be in verse 36 down to verse 40. But if any man thinks he's behaving improperly towards his virgin, if she's past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has the power over his own will, is so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then, he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whomever she wishes, only in the Lord. But if she is happier, she remains as she is according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. Remember, we've been in a new section in 1 Corinthians. The first six chapters, Paul had been addressing concerns he has. Now the remainder of this book, Paul's going to be answering questions. And these guys had quite a bit of questions about marriage. Now this is not a complete theology of marriage. If you want a complete theology, go over to Ephesians and look there, and also check out Colossians. But these guys had some questions. Let me ask you a question. Who has questions about relationships? We all do. That's one of the most, as you get older and as you walk with the Lord, you will find that you're going to probably have more questions about relationships. You never get it quite figured out. You know, the only thing I have figured out about the whole deal is the best thing to do is just try to die to myself and honor the Lord. That's about the only thing I figured out in this thing. The first study, verses 1 through 5 is where we're at. And I'm just going to bring back the main points here. Rendering affection is due. In other words, don't hold back affection. Man, water that flower. Paul says, don't hold back affection. If you're the husband, don't hold back affection. If you're the spouse, if you're the wife, don't hold back affection. Love on your spouses. Don't hold back. Remember, Satan's great plan for marriage is to destroy it. Okay, that's what he is desiring to do. If he gets that, think about it. He's not only affected two people's lives, but he's also affected the kids that are there. I mean, come on. I don't think we have to go into great detail, but that's his great plan. When it comes to sex, he encourages sex outside of marriage, and he discourages sex inside of marriage. And if he accomplishes either one, it's a victory for him. Guys, let's water that. Now, when we talked about affection, rendering affection that is due, understand it's the whole deal. It's the coming alongside and encouraging. It's coming alongside and giving the hug. It's the coming alongside and having some word of affirmation. It's helping out. It's the whole deal. The second study, verses 7 through 11, if we're married today, it's a gift from God. If we're single today, it's a gift. And the word that Paul uses, the same words he uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's a gifting. Man, if you're single today, understand this. That's where the Lord has you. Trust Him and understand it takes the Lord to make it work. What an incredible gift. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. If we're married today, the same thing. It is an incredible gift that the Lord gives us. He who finds a wife does what? Finds a very good thing. It's a great gift. The grass is not greener on the other side if you're single right now. You're thinking, oh, this is... No, enjoy what the Lord is doing right now. Enjoy what the Lord is doing. The third study was looking at divorce. And I just pray we took one thing from this, that marriage is serious. It's a covenant. The fourth study, verse 17 through 22... Serve the Lord with everything you have right now, right where you are at right now. The principle is that we're to live as we're called. Verse 17 says, you can live for God where you are right now. Go for it. But as God distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk and ordain in all the churches. No matter what station your life is, whether you're single, married, divorced, widowed, remarried, or whatever, the Lord can work through your life. And instead of thinking you can or will walk for the Lord when things change, walk with the Lord where you're at right now. Honor Him. Go for it. Don't hold back. Remember, singleness is not the definition of our life. That doesn't define us. Marriage, or maybe we're widowed or divorced or remarried, these words do not define who we are. Christ defines who we are. 1 John 3, verse 1 through 3, and I shared this with you a couple of weeks, and I believe we need to hear it one more time. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, we are now children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Remember, at the end of the day, we were bought with this incredible great price. Christ, God's one and only Son. Think about that. That God in His forethought, that God in His heart said, you know what, I want to redeem these people. I'm going to send my Son, my precious Lamb. You're valuable. Don't let your value be attached to your station in life. A friend of mine was ticked off Monday, and he said he went to a fundraiser that included gambling. Okay, I don't get that. Okay, but that's where he went. And he sat down and he was playing blackjack. Okay, so you're at a fundraiser and you're playing blackjack. Now, you know, if you want to gamble, well, that's between you and the Lord. I found that it's a lot harder to make money than just give it away. But anyway. Okay, we won't go there, but you get the point. So he sits down next to this guy. And this guy asks him, well, you know, what do you do? And he says so and so and this and that. And he says, my name is Jim. I'm an engineer. He thinks that's his whole definition of his life. He looked down at my friend because of what he was doing. Those things do not define who we are. Christ defines who we are. And I want us to get a hold of that and understand that. That God paid a precious price for each one of us in this room. The fifth study was Paul just gave some good godly counsel on being married or being single. And understand, remember, good godly counsel starts with a humble heart, just someone who who's a servant from the Lord. You remember what he said? He said, the Lord in His mercy had made me trustworthy. He never forgot the fact that he was saved. Never. He never got to a place where he felt like... And you look at Paul, all through Scripture and all the different things that the Lord did in his life. And if anybody would think that they had arrived at something, this guy would. You would think that. But Paul never got over the fact that he was just a sinner saved by grace. He says, the Lord in His mercy had made me trustworthy. And I think we need to take that to heart. Every one of us want to grow to be wise people. I would hope that we would have something that, you know what, guys, you're going to have something to pass on to my son someday. Did you ever think of that? Are you growing right now? See, these guys back here in the back, they lived a lot longer than we have. They have things to pass on. They've been around the block. Okay? Here's what Paul had to say about being married and about being single. If you're married, stay married. If you're single, don't strive for a mate. That's what he's saying. Because he acknowledges the benefits of being single. He also acknowledged the benefits of being married. And then he used the illustration because what was happening at Corinth was there was a time of local persecution. He says, guess what? If you're single, you won't necessarily have to see your family ripped apart. If you're married, don't bug out. Your family needs you now more than ever. Live as you're called. And then he went on to say that I want you to understand that marriage has challenges. I want you to understand that. You guys probably like a good love story, right? Don't lie. I think everybody likes a good love story. But very seldom in what we see come through Hollywood is a good representation of what it is. Okay, it's boy meets girl. Boy does something stupid, loses girl. Boy does whatever he can to get girl back. Boy, girl, live happily ever after, right? Okay? Understand this. Marriage has its challenges. Hence the words, nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but yet I spare you. That's what Paul said. Remember, at the day, marriage consists of two imperfect people. Okay, and marriage will be blessed if those two imperfect people are definitely Christians, but Christians who understand that they're sinners saved by grace. There will be difficult days and challenges being married, whether we're married, and understand this, as single, you're going to go through difficulty as well. But we need to remember that those days of difficulty are not wasted days. They're for refinement, that the Lord is working in us, and He's doing a work in us, and we need to hang on to that. I love 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again, living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And those things work for us. They work for us. So let's hang in there. Don't think that they're wasted days, because sometimes we look back and we look at the decisions, we look at the different things that have occurred, and we think, what a total waste. No, it's not a total waste. God's going to use that. And then Paul's last point, which we looked at last week, was time is short. Okay? Time is short. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by possessions. Don't get distracted by past hurts. Don't get distracted by even your spouse. Remember, it's all about the kingdom of God. Now, what he was not saying was you ignore your spouse, leave that person at home, go do whatever God's called you to do. No, that's not biblical. Okay? Marriage is supposed to be about the extension of the kingdom of God. Two people working together, two people yoked up, two people going forward with the Lord. Okay? And life's definitely not about possessions as well. But I do want to add one thing as far as holding on to past hurts. It's difficult, is it not? It's difficult. And, you know, Paul wasn't glancing over that when he said, those who weep as those that did not weep, and those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. He's not just glossing that over and say, suck it up and move on. See, if you have a past hurt, what we don't need to do is nurse it like my wife nurses my daughter. They keep her alive. And that's what we do sometimes. We nurse it, we revisit it, we nurse it, we revisit it. When what we need to do is we need to take it to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to render that thing dead. Okay, and I didn't mention this last week, but the Lord really pinged my heart about it. Because it says, what? Come to me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay? And we need to remember that. I think the best thing that we can do when someone is carrying around a hurt or someone just can't seem to get over is just point them to the Lord and love on them and encourage them. Listen, Jesus cares more than we could possibly ever know right now. Okay? Listen to what it says in Revelation 21, verse 1 through 5. Now I say a new heaven, a new earth, the first heaven, the first earth that passed away, and there is no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I hear a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. You realize that if we're in Christ today, we're going to see this one day. We're not just going to read about it. We're going to see it. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. What would it be like to have the Lord Jesus Christ come up and say, you know what? He understands. So my encouragement today, if anyone's carrying around anything that is hindering them from going forward to all that the Lord has for them, is to lay it down at the Lord's feet. Don't nurse it. Don't keep it alive. Don't revisit it. Give it to the Lord. He cares. The great hymnist Carrie Beck wrote these words: Jesus comes with power to gladden when love shines in. Every life that woe can sadden when love shines in. Love will teach us how to pray. Love will drive the gloom away. Turn our darkness into day when love shines in. How the world will grow with beauty when love shines in. And a heart rejoice with duty when love shines in. Trials may be sanctified, and a soul in peace abide. Life will be glorified when love shines in. Jesus cares. Do not delay. Bring that to Him. Okay? And I pray we grab on to that. Now let's look at this last section. Verse 32 through 35. But I want you to be without care. He who is married cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is unmarried cares for about things of the world, how he may please his wife. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. And she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Single folks, don't miss this. And this is really kind of geared towards you today. If you ever think, well, the Lord never has something for me when I'm single. Yes, He does. And He'd want you to hear this. And I've been saying this over and over for 6 weeks. It is a blessing to be single. Don't waste this season of life. Once again, Paul is not against marriage. He is just pointing out the way it is and the way it should be if we're married. A husband should want to please his wife. And a wife should want to please her husband. That's just normal. That's just an outflow of love. That's the way it should work. When two folks love each other, and that's a marriage that honors the Lord and is a witness to the world. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blemished. It's natural. That honors the Lord to care. Paul's not dissing marriage, okay? He's just giving the reality of what happens when you get married. You're going to care about your wife, and you're going to want to minister to your wife. You're going to care about your husband, and you're going to want to minister to your husband. That should be the natural course of things. But that being said, okay, he has something very encouraging for single folks in serving the Lord now and not wasting the season of life now. And here's something to think about, single folks. Did you ever think that this season of singleness is part of the preparation for what the Lord wills if you ever decide to get married or if you're going to get married? See, it's not necessarily finding the right mate, but becoming the right mate. Did you ever think of that? I sure didn't. It took me a long time to kind of for the Lord to work that in my heart. Instead of looking and searching, finally one day I said, you know what, Johnny, the best thing that you can do is really serve me now, just to serve me now. And get your focus off all this other stuff and get your focus on me. And in my time, I will bring you exactly what you need. Okay, here's a news flash. And I'm not talking down to you guys, but I want you to understand, you really don't know what you need. I didn't. And it took me going through a broken engagement and a bunch of other junk to figure out, okay, Lord, I don't know what I need. But I know that you know what I need. And if I attach my heart to your heart, you'll get me what I need. You'll do it. You'll work. And I would encourage you guys in that. Because Paul has some great nuggets of wisdom, okay? He wants you to look at the blessing of being single. Look at verse 32 and 33. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Single guys, listen up right now. You can enjoy a life without care. And you're thinking to yourself, I'm already doing that, Johnny. I'm leaving the lid off the toilet. I'm leaving the lid off the toothpaste. I'm squeezing it in the middle. I'm leaving the toilet seat up. You know what? If I want to watch, stay up late, I'm staying up late. I'm going where I want to go and do what I want to do. You know what? If I want to eat crackers in the bed and get crumbs all day, I can do that. I think that's kind of gross. I don't get that. If I want to leave my dirty clothes in the floor and just let them pile up and just do the smell test and wear it, I can do that. Okay, I have no cares. I can, you know what, matter of fact, I can just, you know, chase this girl and chase that girl and do this. I have no cares if I want to play the field. Life's good, Johnny. Shut up. You're telling me something I already know. That's not what Paul's saying. Remember, Paul is single. And listen to his heart. He says, he who is unmarried should care for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. singleness for a Christian, God, should look different than someone who is not saved and single. It should look different. Think about that for a moment. There should be a desire to please the Lord for single Christian guys. Guys, don't waste this season on yourself. Use it to draw near to the Lord and go for it with the Lord. Man. Instead of, well, I'm going to do this on my spring break. I'm going to go volunteer and do this on my spring break. Instead of, staying up late and playing this video game or doing this or doing that, I'm going to get in bed early so I can rise up and spend time with the Lord before I go out. So I can draw near to Him. Instead of watching this stuff that's really not very edifying, I'm going to turn that stuff off and I'm going to spend time with the Lord. Instead of going out with my friends and just slamming a buffet, okay, I think I'm going to stay home and that's what you do if you have money when you're single. I mean, I never cooked. I went out to eat. It all tasted the same, but anyway. I'm going to stay. I'm going to fast. Okay, now, Johnny, that sounds a little odd and that sounds a little extreme. Now, let me share something with you. Psalm 23. It's the psalm we're all familiar with. David penned this when he was a young single man. When he was just out tending the sheep. You're like, well, that's a long time ago. And, he didn't have this. He didn't have Facebook or Twitter. I mean, David's not, if he had Twitter, he'd be Twittering. If David had, stop. Okay? He could have been doing a lot of other things. But somewhere along the way, as he's tending those sheep, he's spending time with the Lord, and this is what the Lord pens through David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David did not waste the time he was given. He used the time he was given to listen to the Lord. Did you ever stop to think? Did ever David ever stop to think that, you know what? This psalm is going to be read a billion times at funerals. Did he think that right now, that to be used as an illustration? Did he think that? No. He's just spending time with the Lord. You know what? You know what will benefit your marriage more than anything? If you spend time with the Lord now. Your wife should never have to kick your rear out of bed to spend time with the Lord. Don't waste the time. Don't waste it. I look back at my 20s and I was serving the Lord from 95 to 2000, the latter part of my 20s. But you know what? I was distracted because all I could think about is, oh, I want a wife. And that's not bad. That's not a bad thing. But it is when it's a distraction. Okay? It is when it's a distraction. Some of the closest experiences I had with the Lord was from 31 to 36. Incredible times, because the Lord finally really got a hold of my heart, and I am so thankful for that. And I'm trying to encourage you in this. Don't waste your time. You're only, you know what? You could meet Miss Wright next week. You could dig in. Don't waste your time. Guys, I think now for you young guys that are growing up, and you young guys that are going to have families, now more than ever is the time to get serious about the Lord, because you have no idea what your family is going to encounter in the days to come. Dig in. Enjoy your time. Now listen what he says to the single ladies. Verse 34, there is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. single ladies, don't buy into what you see in movies, what you hear on the radio, what you see on magazine racks, okay? The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be both holy, both in body and in spirit. And that's as far as I'm going to go with that. I don't have to go any further with that. I want to encourage you ladies that, you know what? There is something very attractive about a lady who desires the Lord. There's something that's very attractive about that. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy serving the Lord. And trust me, the Lord will take care of you. Proverbs 31, verse 10 through 11. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no lack of gain. You ask these guys and myself, ask Robert. Robert really didn't get his life straightened out until he married Alex, okay? He's laughing. Alex is laughing. She's agreeing. She's like, yeah, testify. No. behind every man, there's a great woman. That's the truth. That is the absolute truth. Ladies, don't buy into what you see, what you hear. Don't buy into the world's expectations. It's just lie. It's just deception. Invest in the Lord, and He's going to take care of you. There's one story that came to mind as I was just looking over the notes when I got here and praying about things. Is you guys are familiar with Isaac and Rebecca, right? That's a great story. I would encourage you guys to read that story, and here's why. Now, A, you can look at it as... You can look at it two ways, but I like to look at it as, hey, this is a story that happened in some two people's lives. Isaac doesn't look like he's going to meet anybody. He's in his latter stages. Abraham sends a servant to go get this bride. The servant just has no idea what's going to take place. And Rebecca, you look at Rebecca and the first impression she makes. Okay, A, she, Scripture describes her as a very beautiful woman. Okay, but then, you know what? She waters this dude's camels. You know how much water camels drink? A lot. I think there was like 10 camels. I don't remember. I didn't really look back over it. You can look back over it later. But let's just say there was one, more than one camel. And she finishes watering these things. Okay, she's running back and forth. You ever carried any buckets of water? Okay, it's not the most easiest thing in the world to do. Even if you got the whole thing, you know, the yoke thing. It's work. And the servant just kind of sat there and looked and watched to see if she was going to finish what she said she would do. And she did. Ladies, all you got to do is serve the Lord. You have no idea. You have no idea what's around the bend and when the Lord's going to move and when the Lord's going to work. Okay? Finally, verse 35. And I say this for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Finally, single guys and gals. Okay, what Paul is saying is for your own profit. It's not confining you. It's proper. It's about getting focused on serving the Lord. But it will only profit you if you receive it and run with it. Did you ever think about that? Oh, that was a nice Bible study. Maybe. Oh, that's all well and good. But if we don't receive it, if we don't run with it, did it really profit us? Proverbs 2, verse 1 through 6 says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and to find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Okay? Want a healthy marriage? Go ask God. Okay, He came up with the idea. Go to the manufacturer. One last thought, single folks. All of us, you're probably desiring to be married one day. Remember, it's not so much about finding the right mate as becoming the right mate. Allow the Lord to work, okay? Allow the Lord to work. Paul answers two more questions the folks at Corinth had in regards to marriage. Look at verse 36 and 38. But if a man thinks he's behaving improperly toward his virgin, if she's past the flower of youth, and thus it may be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let him marry. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, has so determined his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. First question, and it's about should a father arrange a marriage for his daughter? Remember, in their culture, they got to arrange the marriages. That kind of scares you a bit, doesn't it? Liars. Stephen, would you not? Yet Stephen has two daughters. Would you guys not love to just arrange the marriage? Would you guys not just love that? You like that. See, but in their culture, David and Pat. No, never mind. I'm kidding. I'm so kidding. I finally got him, didn't I? Yeah. It was the day where they arranged marriages. Paul gives this counsel to dads. This is simply what he's saying. If your daughter desires to be married, let her marry. Let her. Don't get in the way. On the other hand, a dad that guides his daughter into living as a single woman and devoting herself unto the Lord does a good thing as well. In other words, what is he saying? You know your kid? You know, is this what she's desiring? Well, don't stand in the way. Maybe she is desiring just to serve the Lord in this unique way. Then encourage her in that way. So what can we take from this? Since, is anybody's marriage being arranged on this side of the room? Okay, thank you. What? We got a word for that too. What can we take from this? We do not live in a culture where marriages are arranged. What can we take? Here's what we can take. Listen, single guys, gals, listen to what your parents have to say. Listen to them. Okay, believe it or not, they've watched you grow up. They've watched you in some level, some form. All right? Listen to them. Man, especially if they're Christians, listen to them. Okay, they desire what's best for you. But parents, also listen to what your kids have to say. Really listen to them. You know, both parties need to work. Both parties. Now, we're talking Christian. We're talking Christian situation. Where it's an unbeliever, that's kind of a different situation, is it not? But two Christians, Christian mom and dad, Christian kid, trust the Lord to work. Trust that you know what? Trust in the fact that the Lord's going to speak to your parents, and parents, trust in the fact that the Lord's going to speak to your kids. Okay, here's two Proverbs to take to heart. First one, Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings to search out the matter. Get together, seek the Lord, fast, pray together, and seek the Lord's heart together on this. That's it. Lord, what do you want to do? I find that when we get to the place of throwing common sense to the side, throwing what we want to do to the side, and say, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? It clears things up immediately. And no, isn't that true? I mean, listen to this. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search the matter out. Part of growing in our relationship with the Lord is it not seeking the Lord and going through the process that He's designed for us? Okay? Second one is this, Proverbs 25:15. By long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks the bone. Let's humble ourselves and stop before we speak. Okay. And I know things can get heated, especially when you have kids and they come, believe it or not, you know what, when you come to your parents and you got these plans, they're automatically probably thinking worst case scenario. Because they love you. And they've been around a while. And they've seen stuff happen. Okay? But trust them. And parents, I'm speaking to myself, you know, Jonathan one day will be able to hit the toilet on all avenues. I'm going to have to trust that the Lord's going to work in my son. I'm going to have to trust that the Lord's going to work in my daughter. Okay? Sometimes the best thing to do is maybe get out of the way, right? Now look at 39 through 40. He has a second question. Can a widow remarry? A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, Well, if the husband dies, she's at liberty to marry whomever she wishes, only in the Lord. But she's happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. Paul says a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. If he dies, she's free to remarry. And we already looked at a provision and a clause in Matthew. Someone commits adultery, then you know what? There's a choice to be made. But Jesus never encouraged divorce. Okay. But he says if she's going to be remarried, if she is a widower, she needs to marry a believer. But he says she's happy if she stays as she is according to my judgment. And we've heard all this all before, and we've seen it all through this chapter all before. We're not going to go over it again. But what I do want to point out is this. When we look at marriage, let's look at it in four avenues. Number one, marriage is a gift. It's a gift from God, and it takes the Lord to make it worth. Number two, marriage is a ministry. It's a ministry in the home and outside the home. It is a witness to our kids and to the world. It's a witness to see two Christian couples coming together and loving on each other. It's a witness, and it's a witness to our kids if we have kids. Number three, marriage is a calling. It's a calling. Let the Lord put it together and trust the Lord will keep it together. And number four, marriage is a challenge. Paul does not deny the blessing of being married, but he also does not ignore the challenges being married brings. Marriage is an awesome ministry that should not be entered into lightly. What I'm getting at, it's serious business. It's serious business. Okay. Last thing we can take home from this chapter, the last part of verse 48. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. Paul says this about himself. I think we've got to ask ourselves, do we have the Spirit of God? Can we say that about ourselves when we dish out advice? Is our counsel Spirit-led, not shooting from the hip, but is it really of the Lord? And you know what? If you've got any discernment about you whatsoever, you can tell when it's just shooting from the hip and if it's from the Lord. James said this about wisdom in James chapter 3, verse 14 through 18. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing there is. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I think I have the Spirit of God. That's not a bold statement. That's not an arrogant statement. That's a humble statement. And you look at his counsel, and it is from the Lord. Now, here's one thing to think of. How do you know you have the Spirit of God? Are you saved? Okay? As soon as we accept the Lord as our Savior, we get sealed with the Holy Spirit. But let's take that a step further. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? That's only a question that you can get with the Lord. I mean, both of those questions are only two you can get with the Lord and answer. Don't shoot from the hip with your counsel. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. The best counsel we can give somebody is, you know what, you need to trust the Lord and you need to seek the Lord. I don't have everything all figured out in all your circumstances. Now, if you come to me and you say you want to get to split up for these reasons or this or that, I mean, if it's just unbiblical, okay? It's just that black and white. Well, I'm sorry, this is what God's Word says. But then you have to trust that the Lord's going to work in that person. Okay? Don't shoot from the hip. So we had six studies in chapter 7. What can we take home? And just this one thing, and it's something we've all heard before. If you think about it, the backdrop of this whole chapter, there's one thing that kind of comes to the front that's not mentioned. Okay? It's not really mentioned. It's just kind of the backdrop. And it's this, what Paul is really getting at is you need to trust the Lord. You need to trust the Lord in your single state. You need to trust the Lord when you're married. You need to trust the Lord with your past. You need to trust the Lord with your kids. You need to trust the Lord. It's trusting the Lord. And I know that's not anything new. I know that's not anything earth-shattering. But let me ask you a question today. Are you really trusting the Lord? You know, one of the hardest things that I've seen in ministry is you're not really producing anything. You know, vocationally, I'm a machinist, and I can produce something. I can make something. replicate ministry. I'm trusting the Lord that His Word's going to go out, and I'm trusting the Lord that He's going to work. I'm trusting the Lord He's going to work in me. I'm trusting the Lord He's going to work in my wife and in my kids and the people that come here. I'm trusting the Lord He's going to work. There's nothing I can do. Not one thing I can do other than be faithful and maybe teach His Word and love on people and take steps of faith when I need to. That's it. Beyond that, I can't produce anything. I'm not punching a clock. I don't have a quota. I'm not doing a time study. I've got to trust the Lord's going to work. You've got to trust Him. Trust the Lord's going to work in your marriage. Trust the Lord's going to work in your single state. Trust the Lord's going to work in your kids. Okay? Let's get out of the way. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to rationalize it out. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. The literal is, He will clear a path. Maybe that's what you need today, a path cleared. Trust the Lord. Draw near to Him. Okay? Now, I've bored you long enough. And let's draw near to the Lord. 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 And